Lisbon. I've been doing several reveals of the archive and two participants, mostly on my own, so I've been thinking about how we could work on this together. So, which problems are we going to solve? There are many things that we can do. We can run on each package to improve the global quality of Debian, like QPaths, reveals, runs of Intian and Lua, which tend to generate a lot of data. Processing this data takes a lot of time. And it's very boring when you have more than 200 or 300 logs to read, 200 file bugs. So there are two solutions to this. The first solution is to not process the data at all, just provide it to the maintainers. So that's basically using MOL to publish the data on the PTS. The problem with that is that the maintainer will probably do what they do with Lintian runs and ignore the data most of the time. And the other solution would be to try to share the load amongst common DBs to be able to make this a bit less boring. So basically, what we would need is a way to share meta information. For example, for reveals, useful information is the times package take to build individually, so you can schedule them efficiently. For QPaths, there are lots of packages that can't be tested with QPaths, just stops when you run them. So having blacklists would be really useful, so we know which package we don't need to test. There are also some false positives due to the non-interactive front end of QPaths. Also, when you get a list of failed builds, you have to look at the BTS to know which ones were already submitted. So this takes a lot of time to just browse the BTS and see if TBM already submitted it 2 weeks earlier. Using the same BTS tags, user tags for this would help with this. Some documentation would be nice as well. For example, there are many things to avoid when you want to start doing such things, and it's not written nowhere, just have to find it by yourself. And there is so that's mostly information about which doesn't move a lot during time. Over time. Another way to use such information would be to just provide a list of failures somewhere, and people could just annotate it, so each people could process 20 failures or 50 failures instead of one person that would process 200 of them. So basically what I had in mind is start a different IOT project than the QA. It's a QA one, to store this information, because the QA repository currently doesn't contain any data. It's just it's mostly code. And I think that if we start to include more data in this repository, it could be a bit like a spam for the one who uses it to just put code in it. So basically, what do you think? How do you think this could be useful, and how do you currently work when you do such tasks? What's your normal process when you rebuild, since you have done several ones?
I mean, it definitely would be nice if there was some kind of system, because at the moment there isn't any good way to know what's going on. So I'm facing the same problem. I'm building stuff, and when it fails, I have to look up the BTS, and then I see it, like there has been a bug for like a year or like 2 weeks or something. So what I started doing for myself, well, first of all, if you do it repeatedly, after a while, you know which ones fail, and you just ignore them. And I was just keeping a local file of packages and their versions, which were known to fail. But obviously that's not ideal. I mean, the other thing is that the field database, the official one, has some information as well. And if we would create something, there would be some duplication, but I don't know whether it can be integrated with the official field database, because I don't know very much about that. But there definitely is the problem of like everyone having to look up in the BTS to find out that it's a known issue.
Yeah, I use a list like this, but it's not possible to share it with several parents with package version. If there was a file, a bug file, a bug number, so just to keep track of those things, but currently it's not possible to share it. Well, I don't know.
But it should be easy to have such a database shared with each other. That shouldn't be too hard. If there's a database, that's something one can really do in an afternoon.
Yeah, but
there needs to be a common system, like both you and Martin Mietmeyer recognize, and also there should be an easy system to coordinate this kind of bug finding. This Rotomai, I hope I pronounce this right, system is an attempt at that, and I think we should have a system. There is a possibility. I mean, this is, you can, if you take very broad collecting information, processing it, and then displaying it again, you could think of having the design for this mold system also include. There's nothing that says that not just humans can also supply information on, for example, this is a list of issues for each issue. Did I file a certain bug on it? Did I verify it's a false positive or something like that? Whether that's really something going to happen on the short term, and it would be nice to have something workable in a as quickly as possible, of course, because these kinds of runs are already being done, and the longer we wait with having a good system, the longer people are wasting time basically on systems like this, or everyone is reinventing the wheel.
I'm not sure it's really a good idea to wait for either mode or automate.
Well, I think we can just automate it in whatever page now, and if mold is there, we can still move it and migrate it from there to mold.
Yeah, or directly start simply making mold happen as fast as possible. It's,
I don't know about most current status, so I'm not getting to the second lesson.
It's a problem because of the order of the talks.
I think that maybe the quickest way, not the best, of course, can be to have a wiki page.
It
has many problems.
I think having a version control repository, like the version as your suggestion, is. I think you were suggesting that.
The problem with a wiki page is that they are not tabled, and basically it's mostly table-based information, so you don't. With a wiki page, you can't, for example, lock only one line, and it gets complex to hit tables, so I'm not sure. I started looking for wiki-like editing of tables, but I couldn't find anything.
Google Scribe.
Not free, unfortunately.
You can't be a script designer.
I'm using Ubuntu, so.
But having name and underscore version number, version number not for rebuilds because they changed to off, but just subversion and using package name, package source names, and just putting this information in some whatever XML format, which could be also easily be parsed.
Yeah, but if you use an XML format, you have to write the tool to
Yeah, I mean the details can be worked out. It's about which general system are people going to work on to make as soon as possible something happening.
And what about collaborative processing of log files? Do you think it could work? Because last I tried this with two parts and didn't get many help.
I think there should be infrastructure for it. So you can go to a place and fetch some logs and
start going. Even if there's infrastructure, you shouldn't be too hopeful on getting a lot of help. It's for a lot of people, it's very satisfying to work on their own project, the thing they have put work in. And it's very hard to get different people
for processing log files.
Yeah.
You could at least, at starting point, look in the source code of Wonderbolt, which has some Emacs helpers for signing.
It's not about a technical problem. I mean, technically we can solve it. It's only a problem of getting actually people motivated to do it. I think that was also your question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So more like the human resource problem.
How do you create this list?
But actually,
the guest field is also by hand.
I have a script that passes the log files and tries to grab for some strings
that common failures. Yeah.
But actually, even if what you said before, Martin, I think is valid. So that you probably shouldn't expect that much people jump up. But actually, there are still cases where it would be nice for other people to say, "Wait, what is your current status?" So, for example, I'm often wondering, has somebody tried to build this also on set architecture? So in that case, I would look for a log file. Of course, don't expect it as doing someone regularly taking a look, but it will still save a lot of work.
It's just like the same as with wikis. If it's possible to edit it, you open up the opportunity for people to jump in much more easily.
I don't think I will have 50 people jumping in to help, but 2 or 3 would be nice. Because the main problem is that Just before the release, there were lots of people starting to do such things, but for the other 15 months. So, what do we do next? Do we discuss a way to store data with people interested?
Yeah, I think it's smaller groups who really look into this would be most productive at this moment.
Who wants to participate?
In what?
Discussing
implementation.
How much does this depend on your MOLE talk?
Well, I have this whole set of great ideas you could do with it. You could do like anything, everything with it. So, it depends. I think it would be useful to tell about it more, so share my ideas.
Just do your talk now and discuss later. So we had an idea how to use MOLE and what it can do.
Yeah, because it's important to share the ideas so people, I know what other people think of it. I don't know yet. Yes?
I just checked it. There's not so many lines of code yet. You don't have that much to say.
I have much more ideas than lines of code.
if all the ideas count, I have a lot of ideas also.
Well,
useful ideas.
That's useful. <good. laughs>
This is
written by
because this is actually an abstract I already wrote for some paper I intend to write, but Svel didn't yet. Okay, so this MOLE thing, you have heard quite some bits about it already. It has been mentioned, but let's briefly discuss what it might be able to do for QA. It is currently existing inside the QA repository, The stages of implementation I will review at the end, but first the general most important goals of the system. It is infrastructure to manage data with four most important properties. It can be configured to allow data to be submitted via any number of ways. It can be a specific daemon, for example, Linton tests on specific packages only accepted by user process running on Glug, submitting Linton results over packages, but any other way is also possible. It is a means to store the data. Of course, you don't have anything about any benefits from your data if you don't keep it, so it is a database. It's not using a relational database, although such a backend is also possible. However, for the third and the fourth, especially the third point, it is quite convenient to have it in a different form. Next to storing the data, you need to also retrieve it, because, you know, again, kind of important. You can do it both on one single item, for example, what was the latest build log of the given package. It is important that you do not need to have a linear scan through data, which is currently happening a lot within QA tools, for example, PTS that uses bug lists. Those bug lists are simply filed with each package number of bug. This way you can quickly retrieve this data, and also to transfer a whole data set. For example, again, bug counts about packages. It's useful if, for example, a system like PTS or the term schema pages can very quickly retrieve and synchronize the whole set of data instead of just one micro query. Both things are possible, and the whole set is mostly possible via rsync jobs, which is a very convenient way to distribute data. And as a fourth point, an optional thing, everything within MOL can be used or can of course not be used. Is MOL could, because it knows which entries within your database you want to know and what the data is, it can coordinate work to take the currently running Linton case. It knows, hey, there's a new package, let's say mPlayer, and it doesn't have any Linton result yet, so it puts it on a to-do list, and if a worker can query this to-do list and say, just assign me 10 packages to Linton check, it retrieves it, it gets locked, and can then submit the results. This is already working. If a worker retrieves a package from a to-do list, it's being reserved for some configurable time. If the worker does not return results within that time, it's assumed failed and automatically put on the to-do list again, so it's pretty resilient to any failures or temporary problems with workers. Unlike, for example, the current building infrastructure, which requires manual requeues, this is completely autonomously, which I think is very important for QA tools, because the danger in actually doing double work is pretty minimal to zero. Okay. Are there at this moment, of course this is a QA work session, people can jump in at any time with questions, so are there at this moment already questions or things to end, and I'll continue. Let's give one concrete example over here. The building logs is one of the most done recurring things that take a lot of computer power and a lot of effort and is not currently coordinated. Well, it's accepted, MOL could store it in the database, including all the versions, which is important to see if it's something is a regression or whether something has always already failed this specific test. Because there can be any number of types of tests within MOL. Okay, and then I'll talk about it later. Yeah, well, this is the description, the third point here, description of the worker distribution. This actually, after a configurable amount of time retesting a specific entry is not yet implemented, which is one of the main reasons I haven't really published the whole morphing yet in terms of to a very wide public to say, if you have any new test, please provide it, because of, well, this is kind of a major feature that is still missing. And well, most of the QA things actually rely on having a configurable retest after a certain amount of time, otherwise it's kind of useless. And the last bit, the web interface, is also absent. There is a rough interface. Of course, the database has some defined formats, so you can directly look into the database, but it's not really user convenient yet to actually see what current status is. This approach is very powerful because of the stacking of jobs. For example, the packages that need to be lint injected are actually a list of .deps and .dsc files in the archive that are, for example, in testing or unstable. But how do you get this list? Well, you can add a job that has as input packages files from the mirrors, and as output a list of packages that are in testing unstable on any architecture. Which is a pretty simple processing job. It doesn't do anything really interesting, but such a thing could also be made a MOL job, and the output of it, the list of the .deps that you want to run lint-in over, can then be used again as input, so that then you can lint-in over it, and the results of lint-in can then again be used as input for yet a different MOL test, where you can judge them. For example, some lint-in errors are more severe than others. Suppose you want to get rid of one specific lint-in error that is that you deem totally inappropriate for having any package in the archive triggering this error. For example, because you want to get forward and have this lint-in check in the archive software itself, so rejecting it at upload time, which is some plan also. Then you can have a judging job that actually filters this again for this specific test, with yet again output have a list of packages that fail this lint-in test. And because of the second paragraph over here, the data providers or the workers that process input and generate output are not necessarily computer programs. There's no reason, there's no fundamental reason why that should be. The work distribution that is currently implemented in MOL is actually a kind of locking. At the moment, you get a to-do list, you create some packages, it gets locked, reserved for the worker, and returned again. But if you see a worker as a human, well, it's very much a parallel here. You can look at the output, submit some your humanly generated judgment, you can the input, and if you fail to do so after a certain amount of time, the job will return back to the to-do list. Well, yeah, this is so. For example, in this lint-in case where you want to get rid of a specific lint-in error, this would be the fourth or something stacked MOL job. Altogether, I think this could provide for a very, very powerful framework
because the framework, once it's completely there and bug free enough, makes it very easy to add jobs. You just need to write those lines of code that actually do the interesting thing on, for example, a package, and the whole infrastructure will automatically take care of the rest. So I hope this would enable people within QA or otherwise who just are curious about some specific resource-intensive thing that you might or might not automatically check on packages, to just try it out, make a little bit of code and leverage the infrastructure to do this on the packages. Because of the web interface that would once be written, you would also get the results on an overview page for maintainers for which you see it. As said, it's possible within MOL to get coordination on filing bugs also. Because the human that judges bugs, you can also define a job that says, from field logs, submit into MOL a bug number that I filed on it, or the bug number that previously was already filed, mark that this is a false positive. There's also an alternative way to do it. You could, for example, use the user tag infrastructure that's already in the bug tracking system, use the user tag at a regular outside of MOL way to tag bugs that are discussing a certain failure, and a MOL job could create these user tags and show in the web interface automatically the results, the correct bug numbers as created from the BTS. So you use the BTS as input instead of using MOL actively to register it. Next to quality assurance checks, this infrastructure can also be used for all kinds of other simply interesting things, because, well, it's possible, so why wouldn't you do it? I listed a few examples at the bottom. One is currently being used. It's actually the .desktop files. Packages have .desktop files which indicate how to launch a graphical user interface program. And some project of Henry Cosini, I admit to have a dev installer or something, right? Is a program that can list all kinds of programs that you might run that are available within the archive, using those .desktop files which are currently harvested by MOL. You have a list of all the desktop files in the archive, and the dev installer can display them, and you can install it, because this desktop file has the information which package provides it. So within a dev installer, you can now click on any .desktop file within the archive, whether or not you have it installed on your local machine, and it will install the correct package using this. This extraction, for example, at the moment is going concurrently with LintGen checking packages, because LintGen already extracts the .devs, and it's pretty easy to, at that moment, as a side effect, also put the .desktop files in a different file and submit it to MOL separately. And different ideas could be like slog counts, seeing how many lines of code we have in the archive, or and a different idea that I've once heard, so well put on the list, is having users review and add extra information to packages, like screenshots. One open question about this, it would be quite fun to see on, for example, package of Debian or user contributed screenshots. An open question is some kind of moderation or authentication, authorization. How do you review those screenshots? I don't have the answer yet, but surely MOL will be powerful enough to also cover this case. Well, I think this is everything. No? Oh yeah.
what's going to be implemented. Well, as I said, it is functional, but a bit rough on documentation. I think this talk is the most documentation I've given. I think the most major thing is the lack of giving repeated tests, for example, rebuild testing. If a package fails a build today, it might actually succeed next week and vice versa, and that is something that's not currently covered in the code. So there's some code, but it's not like working yet. The web interface is some larger project which takes a lot of effort to make. An advantage of the web interface thing, or well, what would make it easy for other people to contribute, is that it can be made pretty independently of the code itself. Only the interface to the data repository is important. Otherwise, it can well even be in a different language if you so wish or whatever. So this is a very nice opportunity for people who like to help out to jump in. Okay, I think I've spoken enough for so far. So let's open up for questions.
Well, I thought about the worker jobs, which are pretty well. Each worker will need some manual intervention to set it up somehow.
Yes.
And I just thought about how cool it would be when we implement something that gives the worker a package and says, change the work environment and build environment to do this. So switch internet off and install that package and remove another one. And
yeah,
we would have some more generic interface for the workers, so we don't need so much changes on that side.
Yeah, so basically you want to have workers that are generic and as a parameter not only take on which package to do tests, but also which tests to do.
Yeah, a bit more than simply take a package and build it.
There's not a technical problem with it, it's only the remote execution obvious problem with it. So, but some care must be taken so that the to-do list is really, or however the worker gets whatever to do, that is actually safe to do, and you do not risk opening up your...
Well, that's a question of safe interfaces, but
yes.
More interesting is how the data gets back to Mo, because you have a build with some parameters and need to store it without destroying another build of the same package, but with internet on instead of off or something like that. So you need bits of infrastructure changes for that, I guess. I don't know the current.
Yeah, because you mean because tweaking the interfaces on a machine affects everything on the machine?
Yeah, so you may want to have a build log of building with internet and without and compare them. So you need to be able to store both and not overwriting either.
But MOL has, maybe that wasn't very clear, that MOL can have different types of tests, and there could be a type could be as complicated as building with no internet or building within testing environments.
Yeah, but that's dependent on parameters and not on the job the worker has done, because we change the information built without internet from the job name, which would be worker comes and says, I want to build packages without internet, to worker comes and I want to build packages in a generic way, and gives back a build log with parameters internet off and install dev helper version 6. So I don't know how you actually implemented that. So
I'm not entirely sure I completely see what you exactly want. Do you want to have predefined exact work environments then? Or
no, I mean
not.
No, I don't want those, but I guess at the moment the build logs or data is stored somehow dependent on this job that was done and not on the data supplied as parameter to that job.
Well, yes, also the parameters are stored. You can have,
yes.
For example, every package at current moment in all has both a lintian 2.23.24 and 2.23.26 results, and that are two separate fields.
But done by the same job? Or?
Well, no, it's by different job, basically, different worker. But, well, it's the same code worker, it's just with one parameter change. But
okay.
It's in the database, both results are in the database. And, for example, one job I've written and that you could run is and see what is actually the difference between the lintian versions and just show me the packages where the lintian results differ. So yes, it is possible to show for each package basically multiple lintian results because the parameters, namely the lintian version in this case, were different.
Okay.
Also for build logs, that would be possible. So yeah, a lot of potential, I think. Well, it's hard to say, of course, because it hasn't been proven. It's not proven technology yet beyond what's currently being done. Especially not, for example, a human worker use case hasn't been done yet. But I'm curious what people think about the potential of here. Is this one way to go forward, so would it maybe be better and more forward-looking to actually be store things in Subversion, like Lucas has proposed?
Well, I was thinking about combining that with Project B. I would like to have a database of all versions of packages that have ever been in Unstable. And I tried to write something like Mole in early stage, which uses something as a backend that looks like the Project B, just like just with the difference that old versions of packages are not deleted from the database.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I have a draft at home, I've got to bring with me, where I try to use the Project B SQL schemas and extend them in a way that could fit for that use case.
Is this the actual packages or just the version information, package information? For example, like 3 months ago.
In that case, just the version information.
Yeah.
If you've got the package name and the version number, it's easy to fetch the package.
Right.
That could be something you want to also to store, yes.
Yes, one weakness or thing in the design or ideas here that hasn't been given much thought is real historical information, how to keep it. Currently it's kind of assumed that information is not really interesting anymore after a given time. But historical information, yeah.
How is it supposed to work currently? So you get mole.debian.net which stores all the information and skips that creates it this central server to retrieve information? Or is the user supposed to store locally information?
Currently, qa.debian.org or Merkle is being used. It has the database and it has the to-do list coordination, both locally. And of course, the databases can be synced to other hosts. I have not thought about actually distributing that. I don't think at the moment there's a need to. Workers, of course, can be on different hosts. And only there's a simple daemon, and they simply get the to-do list and process it.
And how many disk space can you use for this? Because it will get quite huge.
I think we have lots of disk space there.
Yeah, in the hundreds of gigabytes frequently. And if needed, I mean, of course, today's base can be. I mean, it's not like fundamentally not distributable. I mean, it could be multiple places to store the database or multiple installations. I don't think it would be a problem to find a solution for that in case it would really be needed.
In what language did you write it?
It currently is in Python. So it's, the database is, of course, accessible by any language. And I have like, well.
Currently it's a file based.
Yes, a file based. There are two or three, I'm not entirely sure, different backends, like having different files simply for each result. Or having a Berkeley DB for quick lookups, and it's at the moment after each batch with updates, it publishes it and moves it over a canonical version so that a query interface always, once opening a database file, gets a consistent copy without locking. So there's continuous availability. Of course, when there's data that is not easily recreatable, it would make sense to have some more reliable file formats. Although with Berkeley DB, I didn't have much problems ever, as long as you don't do like actively multiple writes to it from different systems or something like that, like Subversion does. But
In your ID, who provides the worker modes?
Anybody who wants. Anybody can actually add ideas to MOL. Of course, one member of the QA group needs to configure the database to actually exist and configure authorization of who can submit results. But then anyone could configure a worker to actually do this. There's not much information needed to set up the database at all. And getting the to-do list at the moment is totally unauthorized. You simply query a page and you get some. They expire automatically anyway, so someone can only starve it, but well, what's the use? And submitting the data is currently authenticated search that in a way that every Debian developer can upload things.
Anybody can run a worker node, then you will have problem with different environments and...
Care must be taken if you run a test over with the exact same tests, that the workers are actually all going to provide the same environment. That's, in case of build logs, a bit tricky. Because, for example, if you do rebuild testing on a certain architecture, well, any rebuilder might have a slightly different configuration. Of course, the host is stored, the worker, but it's an open question, I guess, how to really deal with these kinds of results. If one notices results, one could like have a different test, like testing, rebuild testing AMD on this machine and rebuild testing AMD 64 on that machine. And well, the only problem is you don't really share information. Yeah, something smarts need to be thought of. I don't know yet. That's one of the things we're looking to do indeed. Yeah. Okay, that's it. So I think it's useful to have some looking at the implementation or something with a small group of people who are really interested in coding up some bit, and I can provide some more information more detailed technical information which isn't suitable to have in this group setting, I guess. Okay, thank you very much for listening, and well, that's what we'll finish this one.